wow. Now I look at that thinking, we were cheated. I was cheated, man. Now we see, you know, 50-inch screens out there, and it's like there's you drive up and down neighborhoods, and you see this big old light in the like the front room, and all the lights are out, and it's just this big TV on this wall. It's like my, you know, you could take the wall out of your garage, sit in your car, and look at the side of your other living room wall and think you're at the drive-in theater or something like that. They've gotten so big. But there's so much to share today, and we'll try to cover it all. First of all, in your bulletin, a lot of stuff. Your calendar is there for October. Who would have thought that in January 2014 that we'd be in October 2014 in such a short time? Time is going. That's why it's important to listen to God. That's why it's important to put Him first. The things of this generation, the things of this world, and this time frame right now is so moving at such a fast clip. Do you believe that? That it's just coming somewhere soon, you know, of what Jesus had talked about. In there, you've got a couple of things. Number one, I want to touch upon next Sunday, starting next Sunday at 9:30. Do you have that promo ready there, Chris, for the When God's People Pray? If you can just, when you get that fired up, just go ahead and run it. You've got the insert in there about When God's People Pray. Join us When God's People Pray for a 6-session group study. And he's going to play just a clip there of it. It's a DVD curriculum, examines how God moves in life-changing ways when we set aside our own agendas. We got to set aside our own agendas. You can't just keep on going on the way we've been going on and cry out to God only when we need him. We've got to be able to cry out to him all the time. And if nothing else, just to praise him and to thank him and to worship him. Go ahead, if the volume and all, and kick her up, man.
Here on Atlantic Avenue in downtown Brooklyn that my wife and I began in the ministry. And one Sunday I remember getting up to preach, but the atmosphere was so dark, so heavy, that I broke down and stopped within 5 minutes of this little sermon I had and said, look, something's wrong here. We've got to pray. Praying for another person is like touching God with one hand and touching the person with the other. That's what intercessory prayer is all about. But unconfessed sin, that makes a disconnect. That stops the power from coming down and getting to where it needs to be. Loves when we take his own promises and put our trust in them and repeat them back to him.
I had as much money as I wanted to spend on drugs. Suddenly it wasn't like pills and alcohol, now it was cocaine, and then heroin came into the picture.
She was praying for me. She was fasting and praying that God would change my life, because she knew that, you know, eventually my lifestyle will catch up with me.
The only way to find peace, I thought, would be to kill myself. I craved it because I just wanted an end to this struggle that was my life.
For a number of years now, our church has been pursuing this idea of becoming a house of prayer. We haven't arrived yet. God's still working on us, but we'd love to spend time with you studying together the great promises that God has given us in his word about the potential we have when we call upon the name of the Lord in prayer.
Well, that's what we want to do starting next Sunday for the adult Sunday school hour at 9:30. It's six sessions. And out of that, we're going to talk about, and it's included in there, God's heart for us, the amazing power of prayer, obedience in prayer, the word of God and prayer, why prayer matters, creating a prayer ministry in our church. Now, a lot of this, and as we get into it, I don't know if I want to jump ahead in what we're doing, but I don't want to shame you into prayer. I don't want to stand up here and throw out all kinds of scriptures and things and then say, oh, you're bad, I know, because I'm bad, because I don't do it. I stray away from my time with God, just like you. So I'm going to shame myself into getting closer to God. Shaming can only work for so long. And then after a while, that voice in the back of your head says, oh, it's not so bad now. After 3 weeks or 4 weeks goes by, you kind of wane a little bit, and then you go back into this other direction of things. So shaming doesn't work. But what does work is sharing the potential that we all have by prayer. And if we know that we've got a potential to do something phenomenal, why would you not want to stay on track with that to do that? And it doesn't require a whole lot of our time and resources and energy, really, does it? Has anybody, in general prayer and times of praying and all, have you ever worked up a sweat? Have you ever felt like you ran, 5 miles, the marathon? Generally not. You can sit, you can stand, you can drive, you can lay, you can do whatever, kneel, and just talk to God and bring out things to Him that are upon your heart or that somebody has confided in you to pray about, and then you can be that connection, that intercession. Remember what he said? Intercession, it's like holding hands with the one that needs the answer and touching God's hand and say, Father God, I intercede for this family. I intercede for this person. I intercede for my nation. That's what intercession's about. That's why it is so powerful to stand in the gap for others and forget about your own self for about an hour or maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever the case might be, and pray for others and just connect them to the source of God to be able to minister and to touch that problem, touch that situation in that life so that there is a change. Amen. Because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for an answer. They're looking for help. They're looking for strength. They're looking for direction. They're looking for something. Something that I don't have. But I can connect them to someone that does. Amen. It's like I talked that time where that one said, talk to him nice. He's a pastor. He can get you into heaven. And I said, no, I can't get you into heaven, but I can connect you to the one that can get you there. And we've got to be careful. That's what people look at sometimes as those that go to church, pastors, and all that. Oh, you can get me into heaven. You can get me into the right place with the man up above. I just want to hook you up to the man up above. Because he's going to do the cleaning out. He's going to be the encourager. He's going to be the strengthener, amen. Because I can't strengthen you. I can't encourage you other than maybe exhort and help and pray and try to give you a pep talk now and then, as well as anybody in this room can give someone a pep talk and say, hey, it's going to be okay. Let's pray about it. Let's think, turn it over to God. Let's thank God about it, One of the things in God's Word says, you have not because you've asked not. And in His Word it talks about, I'm the God, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. That I'm a God that can make a way where there seems to be no way. Man says this, but God says that. And when sometimes on this earth, when everything that man says and man can do, I don't care if it's the banker saying, you don't have enough money, we're going to take your house away. I don't care if it's the doctor saying, medically, we've done all we can, there's nothing more we can do. Relationship, when you're having a problem with your spouse or something like that, and maybe someone says, well, I don't see an answer for you guys really reconciling, it's probably going to just end a divorce. When man says that it's to the point where they have no more that they can infuse into your situation, where do you go? God. You never give up. You say, there's more to this. There's someone else that has a greater power. There's someone else that can touch a heart around the world that I don't need to be holding the hand of that person across the country or around the world that needs to be touched by God. I can touch that person by how? Intercession in prayer. Has anybody prayed for someone across the country, across town, across the state somewhere? Do you pray like, well, I can't touch them, I can't be there and look in their eyes, I'll just say this prayer, Lord, I guess, maybe, possibly, I don't... No. You want a prayer like that person is right in front of you and you just hit the whatever of heaven. You just go before God and you say, Lord, I lift up this person. And I ask you, Father, to move mightily in that situation and to work out a situation and bring those around them there that can be an encourager or that they need to listen to or hear from. But whatever you do, Lord, I just lift that need up to you now. Huh. Prayer is one of the most attainable things that we as a church can do. I mean, all you got to do is talk to God. It's not like you've got to, you know, run around, like I said, you know, run a mile, jump a hurdle, do this, do that. Now you can come to God in prayer and ask Him. No! Jesus basically did all that stuff for us. Because He has gone to the Father to intercede for us. He hung on the cross so that He can go to the Father to intercede for you. So, Jesus has done all the hard work, amen? And He's just looking for people that, my gosh, people, can't you even... Jesus, even during the time of Him getting ready to go to be arrested, went to the garden and He found, brought His disciples and He says, here, you stay here. And I'm going to go a little bit further into the garden and stay here and pray. And I'm going to go over here and pray. And He was praying and He come back. And what did He find His disciples doing? Were they having a great, strong prayer meeting? They were sleeping, slumbering. They were just like, can't you even pray for an hour? So His disciples had a problem. So can you imagine that? Even you're walking with Jesus, and Jesus adamantly asked you to do this, and yet they still dozed and slept. So we, now that Jesus is not here in the flesh, we walk with the Holy Spirit, but there's times when I try to pray, I get tired. Is that being honest with you? Yeah. There's times that it's hard for me to pray. It's hard for me to sort of say, okay, I'll pray, you know. And I begin to pray, and before you know it, it's la-la land. And you got to make a conscious effort to be fervent, to stay on your post, to pray until, you know, you feel like it's through. And you just pray without ceasing. Even after I'm done praying, it could be next afternoon or later on that day, that thought may come in about that person and that situation. And I just say, as I'm driving, as I'm walking into the store, opening the door, I say, Father, I still lift up Bill Smith to you in that situation that he's dealing with. Father God, I thank you now, even though I don't know what the outcome is at this point in time, but I believe that you've heard my prayers, and thank you, Father God. Situation last night to where I was called to do some things for a person in the hospital. Just a serious thing. Don't know which way it's going to go. The doctor said it could go south fast. Airlifted them out to Madison. But I can pray and I can stand there with that family and I can turn it over to God because I can't do anything. But I can pray that, Father, give the doctors, the surgeons, the wisdom, the knowledge, what they need to do to help this person survive. Father, when they have done all that they can do, Lord, I ask that you intervene, that you would come into that time and that place and that person's life. And Father, be there and give them strength and give them healing power and help them through this. You got to go in there praying that God is hearing you, amen. You got to go in there trusting and believing that I'm just not going and just throwing my words up against that wall in the ER or something like that, that it's not going to go anywhere, that, it's just making a nice little show and we're just going to say, you know, a simple little thing here and there. No! You go in there and you have to believe, and I know that my Lord is hearing my prayers. We go through life with so many things and things that come against us and things that we hear about, that it can weigh you down. Well, as we get into this time of prayer, that pretty well covers the bulletin, the calendar. And now, in your bulletin also, I think you had something along this line. And this prayer of when God's people pray for our Sunday school, it's just how this is all wrapping together. Is it exciting? And I can't wait to see the power that you inflict upon situations in this region, in your home, in the church, in this country, amen. Do you believe that you can be a voice in that wilderness crying out for the things of this nation, for your home, for your church, for your community? If you don't believe that, prayer 31 is not going to be anything for you. If you can't know that you know that you know that this is all about my power of working with God and God's power working through me, and the power that I have is not mine, it's His working through me, that we can accomplish some things. So you've got a little flyer there that you've got. Also, you've got within that, because I knew last night as I got ready for this, and I threw a sheet in there for 21 reasons why to pray. I was just going to, and if we got time here, we will tap upon some of those areas of prayer. But if not, you can use that to look it up yourself, and that would be great. I guess as I was thinking about these things, I got books everywhere. A very well-known scripture there in 2 Chronicles 7:14. You can turn there, or if nothing else, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, I've got to find out, are you His people or not? Half of you think you are, and the other half don't know yet. But it's very powerful to know that if you are His people, you might want to say, let's say it together, I am His people. I am His people, amen. And by looking at this, it says, if my people who are called by my name, have you been called? I've been called. We have been sent, amen. You have been called. You have been sent for such a time as this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And who wants their land healed? I hope we all want our land healed. This is back in the Old Testament, but I'm going to tell you what, New Testament 2014, we need our land healed. Just as much as they did back then, don't you agree? This land needs to be healed. So that was the scripture there that I found that I enjoyed just quickly. And this was something that we just are going to bounce on a couple here. And then I've got some other things that I want to visit with you on. Then we go to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6, it says this in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious. In everything. No. Well, I caught you. I'm glad you're awake. I'm glad you turned to your Bible. Amen. Have your Bible. You've got to read along. It says, be anxious for what? Nothing. But in everything do what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. A lot of things taking place that I don't like. I'm sure there's things taking place around the world, in our nation, in our city, in our state that you don't like. But you know what? I'm not going to be anxious for it. It's not going to get me, I don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. I'm not going to be Chicken Little crying, oh, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. No, if I'm going to say anything when that sky falls, it's not going to be falling. It's going to be Jesus coming back on a horse with the trumpet sounding. And there's going to be something different than the sky falling. Amen. That's for another time. But I'm not going to be Chicken Little going around and being anxious and not knowing what to do. I know what to do. What do you think I know what to do? Pray. Do you know what to do? Pray. Don't hide your head in the sand. Don't go, and put the Bible under the table or in the closet. Don't run from it. Don't run from God. Run to God. Run to God in prayer. Kind of like figuratively in your mind or thought, but as you begin to pray, you're running to God and you're hearing Him and He's hearing you. But it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Well, that's good too. But then 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known. And then in 7 it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses Tim's understanding, will guard Tim's heart and Tim's mind through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! What more does Tim need? Do you guys need any more than that? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. When you go into times of prayer, when he's got you on times of intercession and praying for things that are not, you know, oh Lord, I pray that I get this, pray I get that, I pray I get this. No, when he gets you moved past the prayers of I into Lord, I pray for this, this, and this out in the world, when he gets you into that realm of doing things, amen, you know, look what's going to happen. You're making the request be known to God. Now, he already knows. God knows what's going on. I don't have to tell God about the tragedies and things taking place in America or around the world, do I?
No.
He knows. But I go to him and I say, Lord, I've been made aware of this situation in this country. I've been made aware of a situation in our government. And Lord God, I know it's not right. I know it's going against your values. It's going against your morality. It's going against the foundation of what this nation was so gloriously set upon. And so, Father, I come to you now and I intercede for my nation. I intercede for my government. I intercede for my president. I intercede for those in power of authority over this land that they will have a turn from their wicked ways and turn to you. Well, that's pretty exciting for me. I don't know about you guys. Glory! One person! Just one person could change and move the hand of God, you know, as he listens and hears. And there's some of those things throughout the Old Testament we're not going to have time to get into, but he hears the prayers of the people. He hears ones when they cry out to him. I wonder at times when he knows that we're at the end of where we're at and there's no further place to go, I wonder if even God says, I just wonder if they're even going to remember to cry out to me. Or are they so blinded, so hardened that the world has them in such a time of so concerned and narrow focused of the problem that they don't see the answer? We look down because we're downtrodden. We look down because we feel like we're defeated. We look down because we feel like there's no hope. And you listen to the news and you listen to this and you hear that and you hear that and you would believe there is no hope. The world, the man, the things, the news agencies and all these things, they want to sell papers, they want to get viewership. They'll make the worst thing sound the worst just to get you to watch it. And sometimes you go, well, that wasn't so bad. But it's just all about what they want to hype. And what the world wants to hype upon you to where you feel like there is no recourse. There is no other way. You might as well just give in, throw the towel in, and just say, hey, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, okay. God has given us a charge to pray for our land. God has given us a charge to pray for those in power over us. And I've got to ask, are you wanting to do that? I'm not going to shame you into praying. I'm not going to shame you into taking a challenge of Pray 31 just because, oh, well, Pastor's been talking about it for the last few weeks. Oh, they got this booklet. Oh, they got this video. Oh, they're going to do this. Oh, I want to be part of that. Oh. And then, like, even before October 12th, you've already put it away. I'm not going to shame you into it. You're going to want to have to do it yourself. It doesn't do any good. You got to have a desire. You got to want to do it. And then in one other scripture here as I continue to roll through this, 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7. It says that, but the end of all things is at hand. Do you believe that today? The end of all things is at hand. Now, I know back in Daniel, and we looked at and we're studying through Zechariah and these things and the prophecies and the things and the angels of the Lord speaking to these men of prophecy, saying these are things that are going to happen in the future, not now. Somewhere in the future, not now. It was like one of these things, I think, don't be just so entrapped upon thinking like this is all going to happen and this is going to happen and this is going to. Don't be so concerned, because the angel of the Lord is saying this is going to happen for now. Don't worry about it now. You just need to do what this needs to be done now and hear what I'm saying now. So we know that the end is at hand, but the end of all things is at hand. He was at hand when Jesus was ascended into heaven already. The course has been set. There is no deviation from that course that is set. Only the Father in heaven knows the hour and the time that the next return of Christ comes. Amen? And the archangel and all these things happening and the trumpet and just the phenomenal things of the culmination of what God has placed to happen. But anyway, it says, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be what? My Bible says serious. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Serious, when you look at that there, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Let's continue on real quick. And above all things, have what? Fervent what for one another? Love. Fervent love for one another, for love will cover one sin. Multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And as each has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We were sharing some of those things a few weeks back about talents and giftings and things that God has put within you that you're to serve your church with it and be willing to step out and say, I volunteer for that, or I'll be a part of that, or I'll do that. But it's much more than serving your church. It's adamantly to serve mankind. It's to serve outside the church. It's to take that extra step into those others that are out there that they see something different in you. Amen. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Can somebody, by just your hands lifted up, have you received a gift from God? I have. Minister it to one another, amen, as good stewards. So we get back to this point in time where it says, and be serious and watchful in your prayers. Be serious comes out of a word that, let's see here. So, to be of sound mind, sane, self-controlled, serious, moderate, sober-minded, restrained, disciplined, able to reason. The word describes our behavior and attitude as we approach the ending of the age. So that's some of the Greek and the word wealth, and there's a lot of other words that are tied into that type thing. But as you look at, you know, be serious, amen. Self-controlled, be moderate, be sober-minded, be restrained in the things, be sane, and watchful in your prayers. When we take this call of Pray 31, in this prayer atlas, I want you to take it and pray with it seriously. We do not know the end result of millions of people around this nation for the next 31 days, more and more, and who's picking this up to pray every day. So for every day of October, you're going to pray for two states, and you're going to be some things in there that we'll look at. Wow. Oh my goodness. Let me try to run through some things here. Oops. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Pray 31 is a short-term initiative that can make a long-term impact on the life of the church as well as our country. The Pray 31 strategy was created to provide a practical approach to praying for our country. Prayer is a discipline of the Christian life. It's a practice to be learned and cultivated. which means that it grows, that you develop it, it gets better. As you're in this and pray, you pray. How many remember, like, when you began to first pray, and now maybe after many years, how you pray? Has there been a change? Has there been a better improvement in it, I hope, you know, that how you're asking for things? So it's a discipline of the Christian life. It's a practice to be learned and cultivated. It does not come automatically. Why do we know that? Because we find out that even, you know, the disciples asked Jesus what? Out of all the things they've asked him, they didn't ask him, Jesus, how do we preach? Jesus, how do we do this? How do we do that? They said one thing and wanted one thing from him. Jesus, teach us to pray. Because prayer is the most powerful force that we really have in our toolbox of Christianity, if that's what we got, amen. Because I've heard comments and things and articles that I've read that, you know, prayer, powerful prayer, prayer that comes from your heart and spirit, and you believe in it, and your faith is stretching it out there, and you're not, you know, backing down, that is as powerful as a nuclear bomb. It's as powerful and more strategic than any smart bomb. It's anything that man can make that's pretty smart. Power of prayer is over and above that zillions of times. We have a force within us by that of prayer. It doesn't cost the government anything. Isn't that great? My taxes don't go up. You know, what do they say now over in what they're taking on right now in the Middle East? I think it's like some out, I don't know how many billions, 1.8 billion a day or a million a day or something like that is what it's costing because of the, you know, military type things. But my prayer, well, it did cost Jesus his life. I'm not saying it was free. It did cost something. But for me, daily, I don't have to pray or pay something. To, okay, Lord, here's $10. Can I have a prayer now, you know? We got to remember that Pray 31 is not country-centered, but Christ-centered. We got to be careful that we just don't get in. Because sometimes even when we pray for the country, we can get in. It's almost like praying for my home. My, me, la, la, la. You know, I want this, I want that, you know. It's got to be Christ-centered. It's a strategy to seek him and to call upon his blessings and favor. We pray for his will to be done and his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Pray 31, although Pray 31 is primarily focused on intercession, it is also an opportunity to emphasize the other dimensions of prayer. It's a way to teach about, but not limit to such things as adoration, confession, and petition. The Pray 31 experience will guide us to a point where we gain a better perspective on the relevance of prayer to all of life, a stronger commitment to exercise this remarkable privilege that God has given us, a deeper appreciation for our nation, its heritage, and the blessings of living in this unique land. Amen. How many believe that you live in a blessed land? Wow. I just, even to this day in the year 2014, look around at some of the shots of third world countries and the things that people still are having to endure, and I just have to walk over to my kitchen sink and turn on and I got water. Or I can just go 3 more feet over to my refrigerator and open it up and I got food. Or it gets dark out and I can walk over here and flip a light switch on. Wow. Pretty blessed. Really blessed. It gets too hot. I can turn on this little contraption that cools me down. It gets too cold. I can turn on another contraption in my house and it keeps me warm. You mean to tell me that I'm not blessed? Then I see on the news where there's children in a ditch of water trying to drink it or trying to take a bath in it, and it's got sewage in it and dead animals laying in it. Wow. We live in a blessed nation. A unique land. A clear understanding of the impact of intercession. That's going to come through some of this. The instructions and the example of prayer that we find throughout God's Word in our basis for action is the call of God that directs us to intercede. It's not a program or an interesting thing to do. It is a spiritual commitment that holds the potential for spiritual results. Intercession is prayer, petition, or entreaty in favor of another. You're standing in for someone else. Amen. That's what intercession. Standing in the gap. Remember, intercession must be Christ-centered. Although We pray for America. We pray through Christ. Our intercession is offered up in His name. Ultimately, this isn't about our country. It's about Christ. It's the center of our lives. As the Apostle Paul told the Colossians, He is to have the preeminence in everything. We want Christ in America. We want Christ in our nation. We want Christ in our military. Speaking of all that, as we're going into this type, we're finding out more and more and more. I think it is now in the Air Force, I believe it is, where they've taken out the oath of swearing to God within their times of swearing in and things that they do for military things. They're removing God out of our schools way back. Now they're taking God out of the oaths of coming into the military services. It's a very dangerous place to be going. Because do they not know who protects them and is there? God. And they're wanting to take and put Him so far out that like He has no more existence, that we don't need Him anymore. And that's the most dangerous ground to be walking and treading on. And as we as a church, as we as join up with churches around America, that we, I hope, when we take into this Pray 31 Atlas, that we pray for these situations, we pray for this thing, we pray for that, we pray, and we lift up our nation, our states, our government, our governors, our mayors, police, fire, everything out there that's serving us, lifting up our schools, lifting up our churches. Amen. Amen. It's a culmination of everything. You've got to have it all. We can't just have this one thing here and let these other five things slide. We've got to cover everything in prayer. Don't you cover everything in prayer in your home? You don't just pray for your food and that's it. If you got grandkids and things, my goodness, now we're getting all these grandkids, our prayers, we come to a meal, it's like, it's going to take some time, man. We're just like, we need to start praying while it's still in the oven, because when it gets out, it could be cold by the time, because I just begin to pray, Lord, thank you for these kids and our grandkids, and I just pray that, Lord God, you would bless them and protect them and keep them healthy, keep them strong, keep them safe, keep them, it just keeps going and going, and all these things, and family members and all, and you get into that thing when you start connecting to God, you kind of don't worry about the food. I bet there's times probably I might have even forgot to ask His blessings on the food. I don't know if that's bad or not now. I don't know. I have to look over at Dean and say, did we bless the food? But it's like when I feel into that attention and when I'm getting in that proximity of God the Father, there's so much that I want to share with Him. There's so much that I want to lift up to Him. And it's not, give me this and give me that and give Dean this. And no, we're thanking Him for so many things that He has done. And you start looking at kids and family and all and the blessings. So you guys probably know a lot of that as well. Not telling anything new. It isn't a program or an interesting thing to do. It's got to be a commitment. We got to keep Christ in everything. Intercession must be faith-based. The way to please God is by what? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, says Hebrews. Faith is the key component of prayer. Amen. When you begin to pray about things, I tell you what, and the answer can go either direction. You don't know which way it's going to go, but you have to trust God in the direction that He takes it. Amen. Intercession must be love and power. Jesus says to the 12, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. The mark of a true Christian is genuine love for the Lord and the genuine love for others. This must be the motivation in our prayer. We don't pray just to comply with Christ's commands. We do it out of love. His love that dwells in us and empowers us to live a spiritually abundant, fruitful, and meaningful life. And for all who express a love for America, what better way is to pray fervently for your country? So this Pray 31 is built on a strong premise, a foundation of biblical truth and divine promises. And I'm just about wrapping this up here. The key resource in the Pray 31 plan is the U.S. Prayer Atlas. This is pretty cool. We're going to get you one of these. The Prayer Atlas. The Atlas is a day-by-day guide for 1 month of specific intercession. Each day represents two requests. By covering all 62 requests over the course of 31 days, participants will pray for all aspects of America's life. That is so powerful that we are on the same path of prayer, that we lift these things up. Do you not believe that God, when he hears the thousands or millions of people asking for certain things on a certain time and throughout that day, that it's not going to get his attention? And he's going to say, oh, my people, whoo, they're calling on me now. They're believing in me. They're taking time from their earthly schedule to turn in to do some of my kingdom schedule, and they're willing to talk to me for 5 or 10 minutes. Wow! God will be excited. And you don't know, when God gets excited, man, his foot be going. I don't know, like that. I don't know. You'll hear something up there. You know, have you ever petted a dog or something like that, and his tail, and he gets excited, and it's just going boom, 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 boom. I want to get God excited to where he just starts, woo, getting excited, and we don't know what comes out of heaven. The windows open, the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. I don't know. I'm excited. I want the heaven's windows to open. Amen. Even before October starts, we as a church need to have what you call a preparatory prayer. We need to pray for these things. We need to, before, we're still in September, believe it or not. Time's fleeting away fast. Pray that God will use this initiative to contribute to a spiritual awakening in America. Pray that our church will be energized as never before to pray. I don't want to force you into prayer. I want it to be a thing to where people say, I want to pray. Amen. Pray that our church will be energized to pray as never before. Pray that this strategy will result in transformed lives as believers fulfill their roles as intercessors. Do you realize that there is quite a ricochet blessing off of praying for others? Because God knows your needs, God knows your things that you're going through, but if I can put my needs and my things aside for a while and pray for other people that maybe they don't know God, maybe they need more of God than I do, that I take my time and I put it into them. And as God blesses them, I feel like it's a boomerang or a ricochet blessing. It's like, wow, this was taken care of too. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Think of that. If we take those resources of time of praying for our own needs and pray for others' needs, that I believe God will bless those needs and bless my needs. Right now, we've got kind of like a spiritual deadlock, because before we even pray for others, we get stuck into our own rut of what we want. And my prayers and my health and my this and my that. And it's okay. I pray for my headaches. I pray, you know, when something goes awry in my knee or something like that. Thank God, a couple of days ago, I didn't know what was going on in this left knee. It was like, ooh, be careful, man. But say, Lord, thank you for healing, you know. Praise God. And then all of a sudden it's gone. You don't even recognize it. Just yesterday, it's been the last 3 days just really affecting me. And it was just all of a sudden yesterday I noticed I'm walking with it, and I don't feel it was kind of, for a while there, it was back in the back here, was tight and all, and it's just like, man. But you got to just say, oh, okay, Lord, this too shall pass. Hallelujah. Pray that our church will be energized. Pray that the strategy will result in transformed lives and believers fulfill their roles as intercessors. Pray, pray that the prayers of the church body will make an impact upon our community as we do God's will and communicate his word. The purpose of sharing with this today is not to convince you to do something. I don't want to convince you to do this, especially if it's something that you don't want to do, but to encourage you and for you to see the significant opportunity that we have before us, that you have before yourself, individually as well as the body of Christ, that you want to do this, not feeling pressured into doing it or having a guilt trip laid upon you. You know, I've been through services like that, have you? I've been to meetings years ago and things, and they just, you know, but you come in there, and by the time they tell you what you're not doing and how bad you are, you're like, ugh. Then they try to end it by going, okay, come to the altar, we'll pray now. It's like, oh, no, I can't do that. It doesn't work. It does not work to goad people into doing something or to manipulate them into doing things for the Lord. It just will not work because it does not last. But I can tell you this, when you've got a desire to do something and it comes from within, you'll run with it, man. You will run with it. So, not feeling pressured into doing it or having a guilt trip laid on you, I hope and pray that you will really want to do this part and in this initiative. So, with all of that said, We'll hand these out here. But you know what? Instead of me coming to you, I want you to pray about it. And if you want one of these, if you can't get up because of health reasons or whatever, that's understandable. Have somebody pick one up for you. This is going to be the first step of saying I'm not being chastised into praying. It's very easy if I take these books out here and I go up and down the aisle and say, who wants one of these? And I hand them out. This is serious enough that if we want it to fulfill what it needs to fulfill, you've got to have a desire to take that first step. This is your step of commitment to say, yeah, I'm going to take on this challenge. And you know what the thing about this is, really quick, that you don't have to be concerned here. It's only like a 5-minute deal. It's very short, 5 minutes, 10 at the most, unless the Lord leads you into something that you just can't get out of for praying. But it's only 5 minutes. And let me just share quickly. It's a 31-day plan of intercession for the entire nation, for every state and territory. Over the course of the 31 days, you will plan 6 national levels requested are repeated 3 times. The president and vice president, you will pray that their hearts would be guided by God, their decisions would be wise, and that their leadership would be principled. Congressional leaders, you would pray that they will govern with God-honoring discernment and preserve the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. The prayer plan is this. Each day includes 2 simple prayer requests. Read them, reflect upon them, and then pray sincerely for them. Pray for the leaders of the state. Pray for the churches of the state. Pray for the Christians of the state. Following the plan of 31 will only take about 5 minutes per day, but will make a difference in your life. You will be spiritually challenged and personally encouraged by simple practice. As you spend time in daily prayer, you can do so knowing that thousands of fellow believers are doing the same thing and experiencing the same thing. Amen. Isn't that exciting? This is kind of exciting to think like you're going to plug into a power source that, you know, you look around and say, oh, a little small church here in the country, a little small here, one, oh, big church here, small here, big here, blah, blah, blah. But do that across the country, that we all plugging into this thing of Pray 31 Atlas and the power that's going to be there. Hallelujah. At the end of the 31 days, through this prayer atlas, you will have prayed for every United States state and territory. You will have interceded for all of the people who live in our nation, more than 315 million souls for whom Christ died and to whom he offers the gift of eternal life. In the process, your own life will be transformed, your spiritual understanding will be deepened as you participate in this event. Well, hallelujah. Let me pray first. And just a few things that I want to lift up is the 3 or 4 things that we pray that, you know, we can contribute to this awakening in America. That this church, Harvester's Church, will be energized to be a part of what's taking place. That this is just a beginning as what we would call a house of prayer. Lord, in his word, says what? My house shall be called what? House of prayer. Prayer touches God. You want something moved in your life? Go to prayer. If you want to touch God's heart and be where he's at, pray. Pray that the strategy will result in transformed lives. So I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, this day, this hour, this time, Father, I know you look down upon us. I know by the Spirit that you are here in our presence. Father, that you hear the cries of our heart, that you hear what we're saying, what we want to be a part of. And it's not just to be a part of a nationwide program. This is something, Lord, that we want to get a hold of and to be able to use it and to be able to develop it within our own church here at Harvester's Church, that we can be a church, no matter what size, of prayer. And that we pray with fervency, that we pray that we know that you hear our prayers, and that, Father God, we are not just, you know, sending words into the air haphazardly, that we're sending guided prayers up to you, Father God, in intercession. And as those that are here, that are sitting here today, and maybe next week that aren't here, that would be here, Lord, that they would want to pick up one of these atlases, that they will pick it up, Lord, they will look at it and read it and fulfill it, Father, every day for this next month. And then I pray also, Lord, that there will be something that will come out of this, that what are we going to do in November? What are we going to do in December? Hallelujah. But I thank you, Lord, that we can come and join with others around this country in this time of prayer, of Pray 31. I pray for that organization. I pray for the hands that put this together. I just pray for the other churches out there, Father, that are taking the same step that we are. And that, Father, that we will see mountains moved. We will see things changed in this nation. We will see to where they will be saying that we don't understand how it happened. It was a miracle. It didn't make sense, or whatever the case might be. But we'll know that you have heard our prayers, and that situations have been changed, have been moved, have been improved, whatever it is, Lord, by the unified prayer of your people. And so, Father, I just pray now that you would touch their hearts as they sit in the chairs and as they soul search themselves on whether or not they want to become a part of this and to take this atlas and to be a part of this mighty movement. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.